Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up later in the show, we have Baratunde Thurston, who wrote How to Be Black, and Tanner Colby, who wrote Some of My Best Friends Are Black, on black, white, interracial friendships. So the author of the black author of How to Be Black and the white author of Some of My Best Friends Are Black are going to be on together, talking and maybe laughing about black, white friendships coming up later in the show. Right now, it's exactly 1 week until primary day in New York. And tonight is the final Democratic mayoral debate. Public advocate Bill de Blasio is still the front runner, according to the latest polls, with Bill Thompson and Speaker Christine Quinn vying for second place. WNYC will air this final debate tonight at 8, so tune in for that. WNYC's Bridget Bergen is here, and so is New York Times political reporter Kate Taylor to discuss the state of the race. Hi, Kate. Hi, Bridget.
Good morning.
Hi.
So who's going to win the Democratic primary? No, I'm kidding. but the final Democratic debate is tonight. What are the shots that the candidates are looking to get in tonight, Bridget?
Well, certainly Bill de Blasio will be the man that everyone is going after. Goes in as the front runner. We just found out there's going to be another Quinnipiac poll coming out this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So it'll be fascinating to see what those results say. And, you know, if anybody's feeling a little bit better about going into this race. But in terms of the attack on de Blasio, you know, he has been taking it from all sides. His tax plan has been a huge issue that both Thompson and Quinn have been going after. He's proposing this tax on people who make more than $500,000, using it to pay for pre-K and after-school programs for middle school students. They've argued that this is potentially a non-starter because any tax increase requires approval from the Albany state legislature. So if those folks aren't on board, then this may not happen. And then term limits has also become this sort of interesting way of going after de Blasio. You would think it would be just Quinn's vulnerability, but both Thompson and Quinn have started to criticize the fact that in 2005, de Blasio wanted to reform term limits and before he came out against it in 2009, and he was going to do it straight through the city council going around the voters. So I expect to hear at least those two attack points.
It's a really ongoing paradox that most people aren't aware of, I think, on this whole term limits debate. Liberal Democrats tend to not like term limits. It's, you know, been a Republican confection for decades. But, of course, they don't like the way Mayor Bloomberg got around term limits after the people had voted it in referenda two times. I should mention, by the way, listeners, that after tonight's final debate, we have both Bill de Blasio and Bill Thompson coming on for segments on tomorrow's show. They will both take your calls. So Thompson and de Blasio here tomorrow with me and with you. And Kate Taylor from the New York Times, when we hear about everybody going after de Blasio, I wonder if that's really the strategy that they should be pursuing, Thompson and Quinn, because if the polls are right, and that's always an if, but if the polls are right, de Blasio's pretty much got a runoff spot locked up, and it's between Quinn and Thompson, who are tied with each other, for who gets that second runoff spot. So if they aren't going after each other that much, and tell me, maybe they are more than I've been hearing, is it because they have different bases, and so Thompson isn't really going to draw from Quinn, and Quinn isn't really going to draw from Thompson, but they both can draw from de Blasio?
Yeah, that's really it. I mean, you know, Quinn wants to pick off some of the white liberal voters who are thinking about supporting de Blasio, and Thompson wants to pick off some of the African-American voters. You know, he's really been taken by surprise by Bill de Blasio's strength among black voters. I think the Thompson campaign expected that he would, you know, certainly have a plurality, if not a majority, of black voters. And Bill de Blasio has been very effective in courting them. His family has obviously been a really strong thing for him. He put his son Dante in his ads. And, you know, Bridget and I were both at the West Indian American Day parade yesterday following de Blasio. And people there responded to him very enthusiastically. But a lot of them really wanted to talk to Dante. So Bill de Blasio would approach people and they would embrace him. And then they would say, where is Dante? Dante. So, you know, his family has really connected with people, and that's been a problem for Bill Thompson.
At the debate the other week, the one that I was a questioner in with New York One and WNYC, Quinn at one point even teed up Thompson to hit de Blasio, for people who remember that moment. So maybe we'll see another tag team effort like that tonight, if they think they can work with each other to even to fight against each other to get into that second runoff spot, if there is a runoff. And even stop and frisk continues to be an issue and continues to be contentious, particularly among Quinn and de Blasio when critiquing each other's opinions. Bridget, I'm going to play a clip of each. Were these from the parade yesterday, the West Indian Day Parade? Do you know?
There was a breakfast beforehand, so some of it may have been from the breakfast in the morning. Anna Sale and I were both covering it together.
Let's listen.
I know we can keep this the safest big city in America without doing unconstitutional stop and frisks, and that is what my police commissioner will have to do. But let's talk about the public advocate for a second.
Christine Quinn has offered only contradictions. She says she wants to reform stop and frisk, but she wants to keep the architect of the overuse of stop and frisk as her police commissioner. It makes no sense.
Bridget, that's a real problem for Quinn, isn't it? She said early on in the campaign that she would appoint Ray Kelly, and stop and frisk became a much bigger issue after that. I think she thought she was doing a pretty popular thing by saying I'd keep Ray Kelly. Now he's become much more divisive than he was a year ago. And so she said, well, I'd keep him, but I'd make him change stop and frisk. Oops.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think what you're hearing there is so much of what has been the nature of her campaign, trying to keep what she and her campaign have perceive as the best of the Bloomberg years, including Ray Kelly, who, you know, beyond, with the exception of stop and frisk, you know, prevented any terror attacks post 9/11, you know, and yet, as the stop and frisk trial took place, and then there was the debate over the Community Safety Act, it became a more difficult issue for her to sort of thread that needle. She tried in the case of the debate over the Community Safety Act. So those were the two bills. One would create an inspector general and the other would, you know, open the courts to allow people to sue for bias-based policing. She supported the inspector general bill, but did not support the bias-based policing bill. And yet both bills passed and both bills were able to override the mayor's veto and now are going to be law. And she continues to say that she would support Ray Kelly, but she would not allow him to continue or the unconstitutional stop and frisks to continue.
Let's take a phone call. Jim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just called to say, and then so I was triggered by what your guest said. This primary shows the real sophistication of New York City Democrats. They're really moving away from the old sort of like ethnic and racial block voting. That's why de Blasio has so much black support. I'm voting. I'm African American. I'm voting for de Blasio and later for the other guy. It shows that Christine Quinn, despite the fact that she's, openly gay, is not a great progressive, and that's why she's slipping in the polls. I think Democratic voters have really matured, and this is a great moment for Democrats in New York. And that's my comment.
Looking at de Blasio and deciding on de Blasio as you have, did any of it have to do with the fact that he established credibility in the black community through the Dante ads and his family?
Oh, I think that's a great deal. That has a great deal to do with it. But he does have a very well-established reputation as a progressive long before this race.
Thank you very much, Jim. Kay Taylor, what do you think about that in general? Is it as sort of post-racial as Jim was saying at first? Or do you think it is more that people are still more or less voting along traditional ethnic lines as they always have in New York? I mean, you know, there was a time when it was not even about blacks and Latinos and whites. It was the white Italians versus the white Irish versus the white Jewish, and everybody was voting along, you know, the lines of their ethnicities. Do you think it's just that de Blasio has established credibility in the black community, or do you think it's something more post-racial than that?
It's more complicated than it used to be, or than it used to be seen in terms of the ethnic bloc voting that he was describing. And as I say, I think that's something that maybe has taken the Thompson campaign a little bit by surprise. I mean, obviously, de Blasio's family does earn him credibility. But also, you know, it's clear that Thompson hasn't automatically gained credibility just by being black. And his more nuanced statements on stop and frisk, you know, particularly early on in the campaign, he used quite moderate rhetoric about how he would reform it. And then he's kind of amped it up and gotten more fiery in recent weeks. You know, that really, you know, black voters and people like Al Sharpton said, you know, hey, you can't take us for granted. You have to talk about the things that we care about. So I think you are seeing people, you know, listening more to the candidate's position and looking past their skin color.
I just wanted to add, I was with Thompson for, you know, a very long stretch last week, and I thought it was interesting because he really wanted to make the point to, you know, gatherings of black voters to look at the polls from 2009 and to look at how much he was underpolled and to not let those voters become discouraged by these numbers. And basically the point of that was saying that he just felt that the polls didn't reflect the actual constituency that was going to come out and vote, didn't reflect his true supporters.
And I think that appeal, reminding people that he almost won in 2009, is key, because I think the media often oversimplify the black vote, because it's not just that black people tend to vote for black candidates. It's they tend to vote for black candidates who they think can win and who they think can bring real change. Remember that Hillary Clinton was winning the black vote over Barack Obama in the polls early on in the Democratic primary season in 2008. That was before people believed that Barack Obama could win. And I dare say if Clarence Thomas was running in the Democratic primary, he probably wouldn't get a lot of black support. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's get one, well, I guess, all right, what the heck. One more call, but Arthur in the Bronx, you got to do it in a soundbite. We got 20 seconds for you.
Oh, thanks, Brian. I'm a lifelong Democrat down the line, and I'm also having to be biracial. I think Bill de Blasio is a joke. His positions stand for nothing, and he's running on the fact that he's a white guy that happens to like black people. I'm planning for one of the few times in my life to vote in the general election for a Republican. Whoever the Republican wins, I'm going to vote for that.
Because they will do what? Because they Quinn in the primary, and then what do you think
the primary?
What is it that in 10 seconds? What do you think the Republican will do better as mayor?
He'll just be a better steward and be realistic for what the city needs. Stop and frisk is bad, but you know what? Kids getting shot in the head is worse. You know.
And we certainly saw that over this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that interrupted yesterday's celebration at the West Indian Day Parade was the fact that Auntie Kenneth, a one-year-old living in Brownsville, who was in a stroller with his father, was shot in the head and killed. Bill Thompson went and met with the family yesterday. The other candidates all, you know, definitely expressed their sympathies. But it raised the question again about the city's policing policy, stop and frisk versus community policing. We'll definitely hear about that tonight.
And Mayor Bloomberg said that shooting might have been prevented with robust, or it says that's why we need stop and frisk to
exactly
prevent as many of those kinds of shootings as we can. The Democrats turned around and said that's why we need to scale back stop and frisk and have more community policing so they'd be involved with the gang members allegedly.
Exactly,
to try and prevent
a shooting like that before it could happen.
WNYC's Bridget Bergen, Kate Taylor from the New York Times, thank you both very much.
Thank you.